Welcome to the Manifesting Mother Hustler podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to help women like you create massive quantum shifts, to attract the life that you desire to live, to put a stop to all your limiting beliefs, and help you become the queen of your life that you have always desired to be. Are you ready for this? Let's get it.
I want to come back to knowing what we want, right? It's like, and another thing that we all do, you know, not just with our parents, but when we have a partner come in, right? I mean, like, how many of us really take the time to become clear about what we want, right? Most of our relationships are happenstance. Oh, I just met so-and-so and they're cool and they seem all right. And, you know, I've only seen 3 red flags so far, but it seems like it's congruent.
How many 3 red flags?
Right? I mean, we do. When we start to like somebody, we ignore those. And in fact, a lot of times we don't even see them because we're enamored by the person in front of us, right?
The pink color lenses or whatever they call them. Yes. Yeah. The rose colored glasses.
Rose colored glasses.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So I think being clear about what we want in a relationship with our kids, even our job and relationship with friends. It's like we hang on to friends for so long, right? And it's not necessarily a bad thing, right? But we do change, right? And I don't know about you, but my friend circles have just minimized so much. Like, I remember when I was really young and I would read these books by some of the greats, you know, Tony Robbins, and there was Tom Hopkins that did all the real estate stuff back in the day. And like, every one of these guys would talk about their circles. And like, you know, I only have a few really close friends. And I'd be like, I have a shitload of friends. I have friends everywhere, which I've always loved. And I still love so many people, right? I enjoy a lot of people. But now, as I'm getting into a more focused frame of mind and realizing that my years here are the clock's ticking on them, right? And I want to be more specific about what I'm creating, be more on purpose, be more connected, and be with people that are absolutely, I heard saying the other day that they don't want to be, it was Ed Milet with Jimmy Rex, they were talking, and Ed Milet said, I don't want friends that accept me for who I am. Why would I want somebody who just accepts me? Right? I want people that have my back and that tell me the truth and that are cheering for me to get my goals, right? Or whatever. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but that's what he said. And I was like, damn, it's so brilliant, right? And so it's like, do we have friendships? Like, you know, or are we in a place where we're not really drinking anymore, but we hang out with people that are still drinking and partying and doing all that stuff? Not that there's anything wrong with that, right? If that's what people want to choose, that's great.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you are wanting to elevate your life to different levels where you're being more congruent with your goals and getting the things that you really want and stuff like that, it's like, we have to know what kind of relationships we want in our life. And if we're not willing to take the time to be specific about that, we'll always get what we always have, right? And it's like, that's not that necessarily that it's a bad thing, but do those support you? Do those relationships support you?
Mm-hmm. Well, and also knowing your core values, you guys, because one of my core values is honesty. I think we get so excited when we meet someone and we ignore so many things. We forget our core values because we're so excited. And I've said it on here that, like, you guys know a little bit about my background. I'm divorced. My relationship with my daughter's dad was definitely one that taught me so much. Like, I do believe there's that one person in your life, maybe two, I don't know, that just teach you so freaking much. Like, and they're almost like the reason you became awakened. It's almost like they were like your, what would you call it? They were your person that made you come back to yourself. You know, I feel like we all have that person, or we've all had that experience. But knowing your core values, because we do forget our core values. Yeah. Writing down what your core values are, because it's so funny just how, especially I'm not going to say especially as women, I'm sure guys too, but women are just more emotional. Mm-hmm. So I feel like sometimes we do let things slide when it comes to dating. Like, oh, he was kidding. But it's like, no, you know, it's just that, just come on one lie, that's fine.
Yeah.
But to me, I'm like, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
You know, that's a red flag. This is a red flag. That's a red flag. So especially in this era where people can mask themselves so well, you need to be so in tune with yourself when it comes to dating, when it comes to being in a relationship. You really have to be so in touch with your intuition to know or to feel a person, because I am a believer of, like, you can feel that person's energy. And if that person's energy is feeling like ew,
yeah,
then why are you going to stick around? It's not going to change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you're right on with that. I think we do feel the energy. We just get a knowing. Our energetic fields are always communicating. And
our ego gets stroked. And yeah, we're like, ooh.
Totally. The Heart Math Institute did this study about our energetic fields from the heart. That's what their whole business model is studying the energetic field of the heart. And they say it goes up to around 8 feet from the body. And in this particular study, they realized that when two people's energetic fields come together and touch, they instantaneously have a physiological reaction to mm-hmm. each other. And it might be micro,
that is so
teeny cool. bit, but we do influence so cool. each other. And my guess in that, they didn't say this, but my guess is the person with a stronger countenance is going to be more of the influencer. However, even...
What do you mean by countenance? Just for the people that don't know what that is.
Your countenance is your presence. Is your,
okay. So like the person with a stronger energy.
Yeah.
A stronger energy.
Feeling. Yeah, that believes in themselves
in
more.
In the simple way.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So my guess is that person is going to be more of the influence, but the other person still affects that person, even though they may be strong in their beliefs, right? So it is important to be really strong in who you are, but then when you're around, you know, when you're out public and stuff, I think it's great to learn how to protect your energy so that you're not being pulled and leaked and all of that kind of stuff when you're out around a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so this comes back to what we were just saying about, like, choose people that support your energy, mm-hmm. right? And I like it when people say, hey, if I'm the smartest or strongest guy in the room, I better get a new crowd.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that means you outgrew that crowd.
And it's not that you necessarily have to give that crowd up.
Sure.
You certainly find friends that are willing to pull you up to their level. Right. And then you can in turn pull that other group up to your level. And that sounds so arrogant. I don't like to speak from an arrogant place I'm not insinuating that either one of us are better than anybody or whatever, but it's like, but you know.
Yeah, yeah, you know. And it's just like, and I've also said this before, it's just like being in school. Life is school. You know, you have first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. Some of your friends might be in first grade. Some might be in second grade. You might be in third grade because you outgrew first and second grade. And it's not necessarily because, like, people are less than you. They're just not at that place in, like, an energetic level. Maybe they haven't started healing. Maybe they haven't started their own personal growth journey. Everything is a choice. So just because somebody is, you know, let's say your high school friends, just because they're in the same place in life, it doesn't mean that they're like you're better than them. It just means that they haven't started their own healing process, their own spiritual journey, which, I mean, everybody has their mm-hmm. time,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. If we can, I'd like to go back to the parent-child relationship, because there's a piece that I would love to share in this. It's talking about enrolling the kids into, you know, what their lifestyle is going to mm-hmm. be and, you know, becoming their own disciplinarian. Something that can also add to that is getting them to set their own consequences and rewards for how they're playing, mm-hmm. right? So that they get to manage themselves, right? So you can just be like, at the end of the day, you can have a debriefing. Well, how did you do? Great. Oh, you made that mistake. Okay. Awesome. And so what would you do different? You know, is there anything I could do to support you? Right. And then if they, and you can ask them, does that does that mistake that you made, or that, you know, getting off track, does that need a consequence, or is that a correction that you can make so that you don't have to worry about that getting off track anymore? Mm-hmm. You can stay on track. And then also set up the rewards, and the reward could just be getting what they want, right? I mean, if they want the Barbie doll, or if they want, you know, the little scooter or yeah. whatever, like help them make a plan about, you know, what does it take for them? Cause can you imagine, like, I look back, if I never got a big wheel when I was a kid, right? And I always wanted a big wheel. All of my cousins had them, right? But if my dad would have sat down and said, look, here's how we get you the big wheel, right? You go around and you collect Coke bottles. We used to collect Coke bottles to go because they'd have the deposit on them, yeah, right? We get like 10 cents a bottle or something.
Yeah.
And or you can go around and mow people's lawns, or you can do this, or you can do that. And then you save the money and you do, right? If I would have had a plan like that from my dad helping me and supporting me, then where would I be right now and how I could manage my life, right? Can you imagine like your daughter having those kind of skills right now? I mean, that. Because then the child is purpose driven, mm-hmm. right? And I always think that us people, when we do not have a purpose, we are depressed, anxious, lost. Like, and the purpose could be simple. It could be like getting your kid to graduate, or, you know, getting a big wheel, or a new car, or, you know, my family vacation, or opening a new business. I mean, it could be anything. But if we don't have a purpose, something that we're working toward, just life is just mundane. It's the same old, same old, same old, same old, right? Yeah. Because we learn a lot in the journey of going, getting toward our goals, right? Moving toward our goals. And I think it's important to have that challenge in life, to continue to challenge us and let us know why we're getting out of bed and why we do have to conflict resolve, right?
Yeah.
Like just gaining all of those skills. And I think if we parent from that place, our kids are so much more equipped to go out into the world and thrive versus just survive.
Yeah. Something that I noticed you did is ask questions. I don't think as parents we ask enough questions. I definitely think we could always ask more, mm-hmm. because you won't know the answer unless you ask, right? You can't just assume. I've learned that assuming isn't always the best thing. So I feel like we do a lot of assumption. We don't do a lot of asking.
Yeah.
And, but like kids are so smart, you guys. If you ask them questions, like next thing you know, they'll be able to dissect their own emotions. And I've done this with my daughter. There was, just to give you guys a quick example, there was a time that she did not stick up for herself. And she, it was, I don't even know. But anyway, she didn't stick up for herself. She came back to my house. She was so upset. And I was like, what's wrong? And she's like, nothing. And I was like, are you sure? You know, I can feel your energy. I'm like, I feel you. You're kind of like mad. So she's like, yeah, I'm mad because I didn't stick up for myself. I was like, oh, okay. Well, how did that make you feel? And she's like, it made me feel even more mad.
Yeah.
But where I'm getting at is that she was able to figure out how that one decision of her not sticking up for herself made her feel about herself, which to me at that age, I would have just been like, I'm mad, you know, cross my arms just there. But she was able to figure out that when she doesn't stick up for herself, it actually makes her mad.
Yeah.
Because for her, it's like disrespecting herself. So yeah, I was so impressed by that. I was like, wow, that girl.
Yeah.
So,
and when we talk about the kids these days coming through that are more aware, like that's a great example of that.
Yes. Yes.
I just love like seeing the kids and their awareness and their bright spirits, and like it's amazing. And it's like, it's really encouraging because we can look at the world and be like, oh shit, we're in trouble. But then we see a lot of these and a lot of the bright spirits we're talking about are engaged in all these other things too, and maybe a little misdirected at this time. But when we can get people focused into the whole and unity and coming together, imagine what these new so bright powerful. Souls are going
so,
through.
So powerful. Yeah.
I wonder if I can share one more story about a mishap I had with one of my sons
and
how I handled this, because I think it makes a great point. in the consequence rewards situation. So when my son was 17, he was senior in high school, and he was acting out, and his grades were suffering. He wasn't taking care of his phone bill and his insurance bill like he was supposed to. And I'd gotten a new car, and so I had another car that was, you know, decent for him. And so I asked him, I said, what would it be that would help you get back on track? What would make the difference so that you could, you know, stay on track with your grades and your job and paying your bills and all that kind of stuff? He's like, well, you know, if I had a car, that would really help. I'm like, well, it just so happens that I have one. And what I did is I set up the rules with him. I said, okay, great. So if I see that your grades are waning, I take the car. If I know that you've done any drugs or alcohol, I take the car. If I find out you've been drinking or driving, you know, drinking or any drugs in the car, take the car. You know, so I set up all of these rules up front, so I didn't leave it to happenstance, so there wouldn't be a fight. And I set it very clearly. He agreed. Okay, great. And so we're going through, and he's excited. So you know how it is when you're excited; everything's great, and he's doing good and thriving. And grades started tipping off after a while, right? So I pulled him aside. I'm like, "What's happening?" And he's like, "Oh, well, this and that." I'm like, "Well, do you remember our agreement?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "All right, I'm. This is your only chance. Like, you have to get back on track, or I'm taking the car." And he's like, "All right, so." You know, he gets back off track and he's doing better. DUI.
Oh my gosh.
And it was for marijuana, right? And he said that he wasn't using that day, but he got pulled over by the cop, and the cop could smell it in the car. And I'm like, well, that still violates the agreement, right?
Yeah.
Whether you were driving it or not. But and so anyway, when that happened, he didn't let me know, but his mom let me know, right? And you know, mom at that time was kind of in that old paradigm of beat up, making him wrong. And he kind of expected that I would do that too. I mean, that's just what he was, you know, conditioned for. And then early on in my parenting, yeah, I was, you know, more of the disciplinarian. But so it took me 3 days to get it to respond to me, right? And when I deal with my kids, I like to meet up for coffee. So I'm like, so he finally reaches out, and I'm like, "Hey, buddy, let's go grab a cup of coffee." And he's like, "All right." So
that means we need to talk, yeah, dad language.
And so he gets in the car, and you know, I don't say a word about DUI or anything. I'm like, "How you doing, buddy? What's going on? You know, what's new? How you feeling?" And so we chit chat, and we get to the coffee shop and get sat down. And I'm like, "All right, so tell me what happened. What was going on?" And he tells me the story, and I'm like, "Okay. Cool. So what's your plan to get through this?" He's like, "Well, I've thought about this, and you know, I could do this and this and this and you know, XYZ." And I'm like, "Sounds like you really thought it through. You know, I'm proud of you for, you know, looking at that, how you can resolve this." And I'm like, "So do you need any support from me? Is there anything I can do to assist or whatever?" He's like, "No, I think I've got it. If I do, I'll let you know." I'm like, "All right. So you remember our agreement, right?" He's like, I'm like, "So you know I have to take the car, right?" He's like, "Yeah, I know." And I'm like, "Also, you know, I had to pay $750 to get that out of impound. So, you know, what are we going to do to handle that?" Right? And so we made a plan for him to make some payments and get that taken care of. But the thing is, the thing that I love about this story, not just because it's my story, but it's like, I never once made my son wrong. And at the end of this story, I told him about when I got a DUI. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm like, "I had this experience, and this is what happened to me, and it was the worst night of my life, but I had to handle it." And so I basically patted him on the back for the success. Mm-hmm. And,
I like that.
And after that experience, he went on to, you know, after he moved out of his mom's house, and he so responsible with his rent and his car payments and all that kind of stuff. And so I think it really served him in knowing that I just love the shit out of him. And yeah, there's no wrongness.
Well, and also holding that space, yeah, that you held for him, that space of like non-judgment, just very safe space.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I feel like it's kids don't like to really tell us what's up because of the reaction.
Yeah.
Especially if you grew up with a reactive parent. I grew up with a reactive parent. So that safe place that you basically held for your own kid, I feel like that's very important because that is the space to where they're going to open up.
Yeah.
But if you're very reactive, like they're not going to open up.
Yeah.
I never did, at least with my mom, because she was very reactive. Yeah. It was always like, oh, if I say this, this is a reaction I'm going to get. So I'm just not going to say it. And I'm just going to tell her what she wants to hear.
Yep. Yeah. I relate to that in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If we have time, I have one more story that I think is just really valuable.
We're going to put this in two parts, you guys. There's going to be a part one. There is, just because I feel like I like it when episodes are like part one, part two. So we're going to do part one and part two. Yeah.
Awesome.
But go for it.
So this experience is with my oldest daughter. And when my first wife and I got divorced, my oldest daughter, she was around 12 or 13, somewhere around there. Can't remember exactly, but her and I didn't have the best relationship anyway. I mean, it wasn't bad, but, and she was really responsible, right? We never had to worry about her with boys or drugs or alcohol. She was just like straight up, and she was pretty stubborn, and which was a good thing because people didn't sway her much from where she was. She was really a strong soul, you know? And so through my then single parenting, I made a lot of mistakes with my daughter, and our relationship went further and further apart. It just got worse, right? And then it was about 7 or 8 years later that I ended up getting married, and she wasn't a big fan of my new wife, and I think the personalities were, because both of them were kind of stubborn, but she didn't like her that much, and there was just a lot of animosity in that relationship. And so the first part of this relationship with her, it was where she wasn't really talking to me much. And I was listening to a webinar back then, it's quite a while ago before podcasts become popular, you know, and it was Marcy Shimoff promoting her book, Happy for No Reason. But right at the end of it, she talked about Zero Limits, Joe Vitale's book that came out on Ho'oponopono, right? And so then she talks about Joe Vitale's book and tells the steps of Ho'oponopono. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And talked a little bit about the results people were getting from this. And I'm like, oh, sounds pretty cool. And so I wrote the steps down. And that night, going to bed, I decided I'm going to do this prayer, this Hawaiian prayer, on my daughter. And so I fall asleep. Like, and this is all about taking 100% responsibility. Because by the way, everybody, if you're not taking 100% responsibility for everything in your relationships and in your life, you're going to continue to struggle.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, until we are willing to take 100% responsibility for everything, not just what we think is our stuff, but everything, right? And so Ho'oponopono is about that, about taking 100% responsibility for everything. Even the way people treat you, which I can talk about that in length too, in the experiences I've had. But anyway, so I'm doing this prayer over and over in my mind until I fall asleep. It could have been 5, 6, 8 times. I don't remember, right? And then 2 days later, it was my Wednesday night to go pick up my sons from their mom's house, right? And so I called my son Josh and I said, hey, buddy, I'm on my way to pick you up. And he said, well, Kyle and Colin are here, which is my daughter's sons, my grandsons, and we want to stay here and play with them. I'm like, shoot. All right, buddy. Well, guess I'll see you on the weekend, you know? And he's like, hey, wait, unless Stephanie will let them come with us. And I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. Talk to her, let me know. He called me back like instantly and he's excited. She said yes. So obviously he knew there was a problem in the relationship as well, right? And I'm like, oh, well, cool. I'll be there in a minute, right? So I pick him up, bring my grandson. We had a great time. And about 8:30, like I'm expecting my daughter to just say, when are you going to bring the boys or, you know, whatever. But she sent me a text and said, hey, I'm on my way. I'm going to stop and grab the boys. And I'd been living in this house for 1.5 years. She'd never been there, right? She'd never been in my house. And so I'm like, all right, cool. This is interesting. And then I thought she'd say, send the boys out. Nope. She comes and knocks on the door. And I'm like, well, cool. She comes in, sits down and visits with Myra and I for 20 minutes or so. And when she left, we looked at each other like, what was that?
What happened?
Right? We were both just like dumbfounded. I'm like, God, I don't know. That's great. I was excited about it, right? Because I hadn't talked to her in a while. And then I was like, hey, wait. The only thing that's changed since last time I saw her and today is I learned about this prayer. And I did this prayer the other day. And so I told her about the prayer and she was like, whatever, right? But I started using this prayer more and more and seeing the results in my life, right? So that was stage
one.
What's
a prayer again? So we can Google it.
Yeah, this is, so Hori Ho'oponopono.
We're going to Google it after the
H-O apostrophe. O-P-O-N-O-P-O-N-O. So it's Ho'oponopono. Everyone messes this word up. No big deal. But it's an ancient Hawaiian healing process and prayer. So anyway, so that's kind of part one of the relationship with her. I ended up getting divorced from my second wife and being single again. And still that relationship struggled. And then Father's Day of 2015, my daughter reached out. It was like kind of her last ditch effort to reconnect with dad, see what was there, right? And she sent me a really sweet Father's Day text. And I was like, oh,
yeah.
It was really sweet. And so I texted her back something really sweet, right? Like, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. They've been having some good conversation. And she didn't text me back. And like 4 or 5 days later, I'm getting ready to go out of the country to Colombia for an ayahuasca retreat, right? And so just as I'm getting on the plane, I'm like, gosh, she's still not texting me back. And I was like, so I text her. I'm like, hey, is everything okay? Did I say something that pissed you off in my last text? I'm like, I didn't hear back from you. And she's like, oh my gosh, I forgot. And said something really sweet again. Well, just then I'm getting on a plane, headed to, head out of the country. And I forgot, right? So now I didn't text back. And I was gone for 10 days. And so being that it was her last ditch effort with dad, she has no idea that I'm leaving the country.
Yeah.
And so she didn't hear from me for 10 days. So she like put her heart out again that dad didn't show up again, right? That's her story, is dad doesn't show up again. And granted, I wasn't the best at it. I made a lot of mistakes with this, right? So when I get back in town, like, I feel the murmurings of like one of my kids is upset and, from some of the other kids. And I'm like, shit, who did I piss off this time? Right. And so finally I find out it's my daughter. My ex texted me. She's like, what did you do to Stephanie? I'm like, well, I was like, I have no idea. And then I looked, I was even unfriended on Facebook. So, this was serious shit if I unfriended on Facebook. Right. Well, and this made me tune into like, how tender women's hearts are, right? Especially in the dad space. And that I missed the mark again, right? And so the next day I called her, she didn't answer. I texted her and said, hey, I understand that I upset you. I messed up again. And she's like, is there anything we can do to resolve and have some conversation? She's like, I have nothing to say to you. And I was like, oh shit, I really messed this up. But I started thinking about it and realizing that it was her last ditch effort, right? She just put her heart out again and dad disappointed. And so she was like, I'm done with this. And I didn't blame her, right? I understand. And so I'm just like, oh, what can I do? What can I do? And I just like, this is really high priority for me. And so I'm like, oh shit, I just got this idea. So I texted her back and I said, hey, what if you and I could create a space where we're 100% honest with each other? And I use these words. I said, you can tell me I'm a dick, I'm a fucker, I'm an asshole, and the worst dad ever. And I could be 100% honest with you. And she's like, okay. Like that lit her up, right? And I'm like, ooh, that was a little eager on her part, And I'm like, okay, so why don't you write a list of every single thing that I've ever done that upset you, that pissed you off, made you feel like I didn't love you, anything and everything. You make a list. We'll get together and we'll talk about every single one of those. Mm-hmm. And again, she's like, okay. And I said, let me know when you're ready. And so it was literally like the next day. She's like, okay, I'm ready. I'm like, in that moment, I was like, oh shit, she could just blast me. What's she going to say? Right. And I went into this like worry, this defensiveness for a minute. And then I just had this awareness come over me. Like, you know what? I'm a part of everything. And I'm also a part of Christ. I'm a part of the good man. I'm like also a part of all the good things, all the amazing things of life and everything in it. Right? We're all a part of everything. Right? We're all co-creating. So I was like, I have nothing to defend. You know, I've always done the best that I knew how with my kids. And I screwed it up a lot, right? But I always did the best that I knew how. And so we scheduled a coffee time. And honestly, this is what started our coffee, my coffee time with my kids, right? So we scheduled a coffee time.
For people that don't know you, how many kids do you have?
I have 7 kids.
Okay, 7 kids, you guys. Just so you know. Because people are probably like, how many kids is this guy? 7.
Yeah. Yeah, I have enough for me and you and the whole neighborhood.
Yeah,
so, yeah. Anyway, so it came time for us to go to coffee. And as I'm getting in the car, I just like noticed that I had a little anxiety. And because I was like, you know, again, she could say anything to me. And so I made 2 commitments. First of all, I'm the world's absolute best listener today. And I'm taking off all of my armor. And if she wants to shoot me, she can shoot me. Right. And so we got into the conversation, you know, we were chit-chatting a little bit. It was a little awkward, you know, and I'm like, well, you know, let's do this. Let's have this conversation. And so she pulls out her list and her very first one, and it's the only one that I remember, right? The rest of it was just in the conversation. And the first complaint was, you and mom never let me be a child. I was the oldest child. I had to change diapers and babysit and make food and blah, blah, blah. All of this stuff, right? I was like, wow, you're absolutely right. We did that. And then I was like, wow, I'm the oldest. And my parents did the same thing to me. I'm like, of course I'm going to do that to you, right? And so what this ended up being was her having this come up. And I would be like, I would just validate her. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
This happened. Even if it wasn't the way that I saw it, even if I had no memory of it, even if it was me being extremely wrong and I didn't quite see it the way she saw it, I validated her, right? I just like gave her that. And we went through that conversation. And the reason I don't remember it is because it was really emotional. It was really, we laughed and we cried and we hugged and it was just really sweet and probably the best conversation I've ever had with another human being because it was so open and so vulnerable and we just loved the shit out of each other, right? So I think we got through about 5 or 6 things that day, right? She had a list.
Well, and I think that's so powerful what you said about being vulnerable because it takes to be vulnerable, to really be open, or like at least to hear the other person. Mm-hmm. You can't hear the other person if you're not in a vulnerable state. I feel like mm-hmm. when we have that armor on, we don't really listen.
No.
We just listen to what we want to hear.
Yeah.
But when you're vulnerable, it's like you've just let everything go. You're letting your armor down. You're not, you know, defensive.
Yeah.
And you're very much more open.
Yeah.
Open to receive, open to actually listen and be in a space to where you're going to listen and be able to validate that person.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of the times, especially women, I feel like with us women, we just want validation. We don't want an answer to our problems. Sometimes we just want that validation from that person. Like, I feel like that's a lot. Women and maybe some men too. I don't know. Maybe it is men as well.
Yeah. We certainly like to be heard as well.
I just feel like we all just need that validation because, and you can sense when the person, you know, when the person's not listening.
Yeah.
Because you're like,
totally.
Oh, well, that didn't go anywhere. It was just like, I was talking to the wall, you know? So you can tell, you can definitely tell, you can feel when somebody's not validating you.
So from that place, could we consider the vulnerability of the strength?
Oh yeah.
I think vulnerability takes a lot of balls, you guys. Like, I feel like being vulnerable is so scary. It is. It's really scary.
Especially from empathetic people.
Yes. Yes. It's so scary because you know that your wounds are right there in the open, right? Like, not even your wounds. You're just like literally like your heart is like right there. Anybody can hurt it anytime that they want. I just feel like you're putting yourself even out there really makes you vulnerable. Like, vulnerability to me is like a superpower.
Yeah.
It's huge.
I agree.
And it's something that I don't think you see it very often. I feel like only certain people are in touch with their vulnerability side. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely rare.
Yeah. Well, and I have to say, from my perspective, the people that are vulnerable are people I like to hang out with more because it's more fun. It's more real. It's more engaging. Yeah. Right?
Well, yeah. Vulnerability, like, that brings out your authenticity. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
You know?
So in finishing this story, at, you know, when we got through five or six things, yeah, whatever it was, I don't remember what they were, but it was just really powerful. But I said, hey, look, let's meet again for coffee next week and let's go
write
through
a new list.
Well, she
bring it with you
she
next
had
week.
A long list, right? And I said, and then we'll go through more of them. We'll just keep doing it till we're done.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, great. So the next week we get together for coffee and we're chit-chatting a little bit. And this time it's a lot more open and engaging,
yeah,
and
yeah,
fun. And like, okay, well, did you bring your list? And she's like, no. And I said, why not? And she's like, just knowing I could have this conversation with you resolved so much for me. I'll let you know if I need to talk.
That's awesome.
Sweetest words that was a dad could ever hear.
Proud dad moment, oh, right, man, there.
Talk about light me up. That would just, yeah. And so her and I still meet for coffee.
Oh, that's like, awesome.
On the regular. Not enough, though, but we still meet for coffee. And so my takeaway from that for myself was, the more defensive I am with my kids, mm-hmm, and anybody in my life, the less they can communicate to me.
Oh, absolutely.
The less they will trust me.
You're not a safe place when you are defensive.
And I am so grateful for spirit, or whatever you want to call it, that gave me those ideas, right? I mean, I've done a lot of training around this kind of stuff, so so I'm open for that, right? But it's like, without the divine inspiration, I would not have known what to do in that situation. I'm so grateful for whatever inspired me to do that and for being able to feel safe enough in my own self, because it was scary as shit for a minute, right? But then I was like, you know what? If I'm not man enough to listen to my daughter, whether it be right, wrong, good, bad, whatever, I don't deserve to be a dad, right? And it's like, why would I not give her whatever it took to help her feel resolved so she can go on and thrive in her life?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, truly, I think that is one of the best gifts we can give our child, is helping them feel resolved so they can go on and they can conquer their own world, do what they've got to do.
Yeah. Giving them the tools.
Yeah.
Giving them the tools so that they can use it. So I want to ask one question. There's a large number of women who co-parent. Mm-hmm. What would be the best advice that you would give to them when it comes to co-parent? Especially when, you know, you're on your own journey of healing and stuff, but the other parent isn't there yet.
Yeah.
What would you say would be the best advice in having that relationship with your child? Because that is hard. That is so hard.
It is difficult.
So yeah, I'm just wondering like what your advice would be for that.
So there's many things that we could say about this. And one thing that we see in our culture, and I'm not making women wrong for this, right? Because it's what they've had to do to survive.
Sure. Yeah.
But women have, in a way, become ball busters to the men when it is a single parent. And rightfully so. I'm not saying it's unjustified.
By ball busters, but do you mean like masculine? Like they're taking over the masculine.
Calling the shots, making them wrong, being critical, all of that stuff, right? And I'm not, that's what women have learned to do to cope, to make sure that their environment is protected, the child is protected. So I'm not making it wrong. But that's also a very low level consciousness, vibration, and it's forcing, it's controlling. And so it's like, when we can recognize that we drop into that space and realize that it's women don't like to be there, right? Mm-hmm. They don't like to have to do that. And so it's like, it's something that is very survival based, and it's something they feel like they have to do to keep things in order. And again, I'm not making it wrong, because I don't know what the hell I would do in many women's shoes, right? But what I would encourage is to, again, look at what is it that I want? What is my goal in this situation? And this could sound a little Pollyanna, right? Like everything's bright and rainbows and whatever. But when we can step into the highest potential self, hold our highest vision about what we want in this situation, never speak ill of the other parent in front of your child. In fact, I would encourage never speaking ill of that person, period. And like, I think this is a great place where imagination comes in. And a lot of people don't really use this skill, but I'm learning more and more. The more that I can drop into my imagination, create what I want, envision what I want, and feel the feeling of that, like feel the feeling of the best absolute relationship that I can experience with this person, and also see them at their absolute best self, right? Tony Robbins talks about this, that people will generally meet your expectations of them, right? So if we continue to expect that person to be a shithead and mistreat the kids or do whatever they're doing, being the, what is it, the Disneyland dad or, you know, all of that, if we let the past continue to dictate what this is, we will continue to get that from this person.
Yeah.
But Tony Robbins talks about changing the perspective of this person, seeing them in their best self, seeing them in a higher light, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because remember that, first of all, the only thing that we control is ourself and our own imagination and what we see into this world. It's the only thing that we can truly control. We can't really control our child. We can't control their experience. We can't control what they learned. We can't control how the other shows up. All we can do is create in our own mind, our own vision, what it is we want to experience, and do your best to be loving and supportive of that other person. There was a time that you were close enough to create a child. Why can you not create that in your mind again? Not that you're creating another child, but at least a place where you can honor and respect each other.
Right.
And like in all relationships, and in the course that I'm creating, I talk about this, in all relationships, if we don't have that goal in mind and hold that person in the highest regard, how can we expect them to do anything more than that for us?
I agree. Right? Yeah.
And so it's just assuming that that relationship is going to be its absolute best.
Yeah.
And always holding that vision. And there's going to be screw ups. They're going to screw up and you're going to screw up, right?
Yeah.
But remembering to come back to that, come back to that, and come back to that. And I guarantee it will change.
Right. And that's some really great advice, you guys. And always just remember that your child can feel your energy. Like, even if it's 50-50 or your child spends more time with you, obviously, I mean, they're going to be around your energy more, but your energy is contagious. So whether that's like, if they come home to a mom who is like always angry at their dad, they're going to feel it. Or if they come home to a mom that's like holding that loving space, you know, so that they can express themselves without any judgment. Because kids are so sensitive. They're so, so sensitive. Like, if they can feel everybody's energy around them. So it's really important for you to be able to hold that energy, that, you know, be at your highest vibration whenever you're around them, and talk to them. Talk to them and just be that safe place. It's very challenging, but at the same time, maybe you have to go through this to be able to learn more about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I had an experience. I mentioned that breakup that I went through last year. But I had this experience where the relationship with that gal was like, there were some intensities. We were doing this course together and stuff. And I was feeling like really like heartbroken. And she moved on so quickly and found another man. And in that situation, I had an experience where she had said some things to me that were very hurtful. And so I went into that and did the child work around it, right? About like, what was my inner child feeling when that happened? And what did I want to experience? What would I rather feel? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, love, sport, whatever. And then I gave that to myself, right? So I gave me my own love, my own respect, my own support. And then in my imagination, then I went back to the energy of her and said, in my imagination, these are the things that I would love her to say to me. And we had talked about having a clearing conversation with each other, but then she went into resistance about it. While I was doing my child work of cleaning that up, she texted me and said, "Can you talk?" And I saw that text, but I had some more work to do. And so in my imagination, I'm saying, okay, these are the things that I want her to say. And then I experienced her saying those things to me. Then I called her and we're having conversation about a bunch of other things because we're doing that class together. So we talked about a bunch of other things. And then she's like, okay, so in cleaning these things up, you know, I apologize. And she owned her part. And then she said almost word for word exactly what I imagined her saying to me.
That is so wild.
It's powerful.
You guys, your imagination is so, so powerful. If you have not read any of Neville Goddard books, you should do it right now.
Maybe.
I want to say just read it once.
Yeah.
Those are books that you're going to want to read like at least like once a month. At least I read one Neville Goddard book a month. Literally, until it gets into my head, until it's like, I know it's so in there that you couldn't shake it out of me.
Yeah. I generally listen to him every day.
Yeah.
Or people's reproductions.
He's so, so powerful. So I do suggest you guys do pick up a Neville Goddard book. They're like on Audible too.
Yeah,
like
Audible and YouTube and all YouTube, over. You can get a lot Audible, of free content.
Yeah. So there's
another one that is very parallel. It's Florence Shovel Shin.
Oh, that one's good. The Game of Life.
The Game of Life and
How to Play. That one's awesome, great you guys. Book. Game of Life. That one you can totally find free on Spotify.
Yeah.
Just giving you those hacks. Morris, when is your program going to go live? When can people start signing up for your course?
Yeah, I think I'll have it ready in about 3 weeks. I'm just getting through my data gathering phase. And so
where can people go?
At this point, they can find me on Instagram, and that's where I'll be releasing stuff. And that's the Morris Coons on Instagram. So you can look me up there. And then I'll be talking about the release dates, and I'll also be releasing my podcast about the same time, having these similar type of conversations and sharing more information.
Nice. And the name of your podcast is?
Morris Code.
You guys, I love it. Every time he says it, I'm like, that's the name. Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you guys, and we'll see you next time.
Hey friend, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I hope this podcast makes you feel lit up and inspired inside. Will you do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review? I would love to know how this podcast is lighting you up. Until next time.